Welcome to the Haney Biz Project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Companies. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
All right. Welcome to the Haney Biz Project, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in our hometown of Sacramento. We are entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs, and we do that by sharing stories. We do that by sharing the stories of winning, entrepreneurial stories. These stories are meant to inspire, they are meant to educate, and they are meant to connect us to the feeling of entrepreneurship and the feeling of winning. These stories are stories about people who often have to make a comeback. There's always a pivot and a turn in the road, and it's through those stories that we become connected and we do not feel so quite alone. I am here with Marcus Haney. I do not feel alone today because I have you by my side. You were not feeling good a little bit back there. Are you feeling better today?
I am feeling great today. Fired up to be here. Happy to be back in the saddle talking entrepreneurship.
Are you hanging or banging today? I forgot to ask you that.
I am banging.
That means you're your very best and your very best opportunity for any new listeners that we might have. What were you doing before you got in here?
Well, I was out.
Don't give me all the, you know, the dirty stuff.
I was out at a sales call before I walked into the show. Wasn't sure if I was going to make it to the show, but fired up. I got in, got out, got the deal, and here we are.
Awesome. Well, you have broken your rhythm. You're normally not out on a sales call before the show, and I broke my rhythm too. Today, I went to CrossFit before the show, and I never do that. I've never done it yet. I'm somebody who likes his routines and his rhythms, and today I broke the rhythm. So
you okay?
It's either, you know, we are going to find out. This is a good question. Can I do a show after a super hard workout at Rockland CrossFit? Gary over there, he put the hurt on me today, and I am here today, though, with a little bit of energy for our entrepreneurial friends. How about you? How you feeling?
I'm great, ready to rock and roll, excited to hear about Robert Beadle's job and what he does as an entrepreneur and how he's took his business to the next level, and Richard Bakken too. So
yeah,
we have
Robert, and you know, I talk about CrossFit because how do you know if your buddy is doing CrossFit, Marcus? He'll freaking tell you. That's how we know. I had to bring it up because I have this counterclockwise get healthy approach to life. But today we're going to be talking about the health of our balance sheet, right?
Okay.
The health of our financial situation. And as entrepreneurs, as business people, as anybody, that is an important part of moving the ball along and creating a happy and healthy lifestyle. So a healthy balance sheet is a key. And we're going to be talking about Bitcoin a little bit. Everybody's talking about Bitcoin. Robert Beadles is an expert on Bitcoin. Richard Bakken knows a little bit about Bitcoin and investing as well. But, I remember back when I was a kid, my dad, you know, he said buy low and sell high, right? And that's always the way I think of it. So when I think about investing in Bitcoin, I like to use what I call my vomit strategy. I talked about in the revolution, when's the right time to go in on Bitcoin or anything else that's trending so powerful? And I think my thought is, thinking back to what my dad says, is, you know what? You should think about investing, going in when everybody else is starting to get nauseated, right? When their portfolio is gone down so far, they're starting to get sick to their stomach. That's the time to go in. That's the time to invest. That's when I'm going to go in on Bitcoin. So I'm going to be looking around for vomit on my friend Robert Beadle's shoe. And when I see that, that's when I am going to invest. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com. When we come back, we will have Robert Beadles. He's going to be talking about Bitcoin, his businesses that he's built. Richard Bakken will come in a little bit later in the show, and we'll share a little more of our strategy moving forward. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Five Star Bank. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Now, back to the Haney Biz Project with host Mark Haney.
All right. Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Comstocks Magazine. Welcome, Comstocks, to the team. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by Robert Beatles. He's the CEO, founder of the Beatles Corporation. He does so much with Bitcoin, other investing, and so much more. So, Robert, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, brother. I want to know about this vomit. What do you call it, the vomit?
I'm going to look at your shoes. You are a big Bitcoin guy. You know a lot. You are invested. I don't know if you mine it or how you come across your Bitcoin. We're going to find this out. But when I see you get nervous, that's when I get in. And I've never seen you nervous. You and I are good buddies. I've never seen you nervous. But when I see you nervous or sick to your stomach, I'm going to say, you know what? That's probably because of that Bitcoin thing going down, right?
I was just thinking that vomit strategy is how you stay so sexy and skinny, man. I thought you were like
this
on a Hollywood
CrossFit,
diet.
And you are looking good, too. You are staying fit. You are looking good. We are both in the Entrepreneurs Organization together. So we got guys like Uriah Faber and some really fit guys here. So
Sweet.
So we have a little bit to live up to in terms of staying in shape.
Yeah, it sucks being the fat guy in the group, right?
You're not that guy anymore. Look at
not
you,
anymore.
Man.
Yeah.
You're down to fight weight. I think you could take on Uriah. All right, let's get to you. Let's get to you and your business, and then we'll jump into Bitcoin. Give us an overview. I mean, I don't know how many. I think you have as many businesses as I do. Give us an overview of the Beatles Corporation.
So, you know, we started, back in 2004 or so. I guess that's when we first started, you know, building businesses. We started in the construction side of things. So we do a lot of roadway stuff. So stuff with, you know, the government on Department of Transportation, public utilities. So we have that construction sector. Then we have the housing sector that we work in. So we do a lot of, like, Section 8 homes, small apartment complexes, things like that.
Okay.
We got a software company that builds, you know, programs and software for the government. Then, what else? I guess we got the crypto space that we're in. And I think that's pretty much all I'm focused on right now.
But you're an inventor as well. I know you invented a cool greeting card. You've got some other inventions that I know are finding their way out into commerce. So you have this very innovative side to you, or is it just your team?
Yeah, no, God's been good to us. So, you know, basically just find a need and fill it, right? So in the greeting card space, we created this, basically it's a paper greeting card where you can actually put your own video or photo right in the paper greeting card. It costs the same thing as a regular traditional card.
Memory tag,
yeah, we're in stores, you know, stores all over the place and a bunch more stores coming. And yeah, that's been a lot of fun.
That's exciting. So where do you spend your most, you know, we always talk about, are you hanging or banging? And I know you just bought a place in the Bahamas. I'm sure that's a place where you can do your hanging, right? But when we're banging, we're at our very best opportunity. What's that great opportunity look like right now for Robert Beatles? When are you banging and what are you doing?
I'm still stuck on the phraseology, right, of hanging and banging.
Well, we try to get people's attention.
Sounds so dirty.
You know, when we don't have the innovative mindset of a Robert Beatles, you have to get a little crude, you got to get a little edgy, and you have to get people's attention. So that's where that came from.
Gotcha. Yeah, so hanging, I guess, would just be, you know, with friends and family, stuff like that. And, you know, banging is just, you know, building all the businesses. It's, you know, for me, I just like to build stuff, right? So when you find a need, you fill it.
And where are you most focused right now, though? I mean, you have so many. How do you decide which one to focus on?
Right now, software. Okay. So, you know, we're still building the construction companies up immensely. And it's going to, we're probably going to at least double in size this year. So, you know, like I said, God's been really good to us. And then the software side of things is what's really fun for me is where you're able just to take a line of code and turn it into something cool. So
give us an example. Example of what that looks like. I mean, what's a win look like in the software area?
A win?
A win. What's
creating a product that has mass adoption.
Okay.
We're creating a product for, you know, Fortune 100 company that then utilizes it either in their technology or as a standalone that has mass adoption.
Wow. All right. Well, let's talk about, we'll get to know you on the personal level a little bit more, but everybody's talking about Bitcoin, and you and I have been talking about Bitcoin at the EO meetings and so on. You're kind of known as the Bitcoin guru of our group, but you really have become an expert on Bitcoin.
Well, I don't know about expert, but I'm definitely a fan, right? So, yeah, experts would be people that actually build blockchains.
And, okay.
Yeah, I'm more of an enthusiast.
Will you begin to put together, I've seen the video that you put together that's sort of a tutorial for the basics of Bitcoin. Why don't you, if you don't mind, give our listeners an idea. What is Bitcoin? What's the story of Robert Beatles getting involved in Bitcoin? going?
So probably around 2009, a guy that I enjoy listening to is a guy named Max Keiser. So he's a guy that created the stock market algorithms that a lot of people still use to this day, right? So he created the algorithms that I guess like the NASDAQ and I think New York Stock Exchange, those traders use. And then he sold that technology to them. And then he came out and started talking about how Bitcoin was going to change the future. And that was around 2009. So that's when I started paying attention and kind of learning a little bit about it. You know, Bitcoin is kind of this mysterious cryptocurrency that was created by a guy named Satoshi Nakamoto. Maybe it's a guy, maybe it's a group of people. Nobody knows, right? He's kind of like the boogeyman. Right. It showed up one day to kind of combat what that financial crisis we had in 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. So kind of a way to where we're not reliant on central banks or big banks, you know, for our banking needs. And so we can actually send currency, you know, peer-to-peer using digital assets. So from then on, once I kind of learned what it was, I was able to start studying more and become more enthused and investing in it.
So when did you start? You started investing in the 2009 time frame or later than that?
No, I really didn't start investing until probably the past year or two.
Okay. Yeah, so it's pretty, it's more recent, but you've been studying it for a long time. And what made you get the confidence that it's time to go in? You kind of wonder that as entrepreneurs, you want to buy low, you want to sell high, you want to go in when the timing's right. And the things had such a run. I mean, how do you know when to go in and what made you decide to go in?
You know, I guess it's kind of like, you know, when you're standing there, you know, in front of the ocean, you know, you keep seeing the waves go in and out and finally you just want to, all right, I'm going to go for a swim, right? Yeah. So I've been watching it for so long, I just kind of decided, hey, it's time. And so luckily, you know, I got in when I did and, you know, I've seen a ton of growth. So it's been great.
Yeah. So you invest in this currency and the currency goes up in value. The market cap is, I don't know, billions, hundreds of billions, maybe it's over a trillion. I don't know, but it's so big.
Just under 600 billion right now.
600 billion right now, market cap. Okay. So,
yeah.
But you can use this currency to actually do transactions. If I only had a Bitcoin, how would I use it to buy something?
Okay. So typically, I mean, like one of the first use cases of it was a guy buying pizza with it, right? So he actually spent 40,000 Bitcoins on a pizza.
Oh, wow.
Yes. That was one expensive pizza, but that was back when it was, you know, pennies, right?
Right.
So, the idea behind it.
And now it's like 15,000, 14,000, right?
Well, right now it's about 11,500. It bounces all over the place. It's been up as high as around 20,000. But imagine if you're using, like you're in real estate. So say you want to buy a house in another country or you want to buy a house here and you want to wire them money. We all know how expensive those wire fees can be and how long they take, right? So they can take days, weeks, depending on what country you buy. Well, with cryptocurrencies, they can have the money within like 4 seconds.
Right.
So you could actually own something in another country, another state in like 4 seconds. They're not waiting on the money anymore. And it just costs, depending on what crypto you use, like 4 cents.
And it eliminates one of the middlemen or two, a few middlemen, right?
It's just, yes.
I don't know if that would be Visa or a bank or somebody trying to take their cut of the transaction.
Yep.
Interesting. Now, what's mining Bitcoin, right? Everybody talks about mining. You got all these servers and those servers go out to look at transactions and take a piece of those transactions. How does that work?
So mining is a little bit different. It's basically a group of people that have computers that are validating transactions. And so they're actually rewarded with every transaction they validate or approve. So they're paid in, you know, Bitcoin or that cryptocurrency. So that's it on a very simplistic scale.
And thinking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, we're in the first innings of that. There's thousands of cryptocurrencies. How does Bitcoin's number one? It's the one we all talk about, but there's a lot of others too. Are you following the rest?
Yeah, there's about 1,500 right now on CoinMarketCap, and there's probably about 5,000 that's waiting to get in. If you listen to like the CEO of Binance, he's got about 5,000 coins that are trying to get onto his exchange. So it's definitely a growing space, and it seems like everybody and their brother now is coming out with some kind of ICO or some kind of new crypto, right? And so you really have to be wary which ones you invest in. But Bitcoin's kind of like the grandfather. It's kind of like the OG, right? And then you got Ethereum, which is kind of like, you know, the father that everybody's building on right now. These ERC-20 tokens that you hear about and all these other cryptocurrencies are building off the Ethereum platform because it's basically Gen 2 blockchain technology and Bitcoin is Gen 1. So a lot of these new cryptocurrencies are building off Ethereum platforms, which has a lot of challenges because Ethereum can't handle the workload and all the stress that they're putting on it. And there's still expensive, you know, fees and transaction times.
So this blockchain technology, describe what that is. That's the record, right, of the transactions with that coin?
So like in just layman terms, imagine you had a network of 1,000 computers all connected connected together, and they all work together in unison to verify transactions and to actually record the transactions and to where they're visible so everybody can see the transactions. So that way there's this accountability. There's no bank hiding what's going on, right? So that way everything is dependent on these thousands of people that are all interconnected together, and you can't be taken down by a hack because you'd have to hack all these thousands of computers versus one, you know, server, you know, at Chase Manhattan or something.
It's that blockchain that gives us the confidence to utilize or to accept that payment, that payment method.
The ledgers on the blockchain, yeah.
Gotcha. All right, so just thinking about it, you know, we dove pretty deep into Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, and it's not for everybody. And we're going to be having Richard Bakken, who is a wealth manager and a financial guru, and he's going to say, you know, probably something different than go all in on Bitcoin. But what is your investment strategy? Because I know it's not all in on Bitcoin and then the rest of it in these businesses. You know, as a successful entrepreneur, how do you think about asset allocation and really how to avoid risk but yet grow everything?
Sure. I guess, you know, I kind of look at everything depending on the needs, right? So if you, like in the construction space, if there's an immense need there, I focus a lot of time and energy growing that to fill those needs. The cryptocurrency has always been more of a hobby, right? A very lucrative hobby. So, and by all means, I don't say go all in on Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is kind of like, it's a grandfather. It's more of a storage of value. It's very slow compared to a lot of these other cryptocurrencies. The fees are very high. And so a lot of people, like even Stripe, they now said that they're not going to be using Bitcoin as a payment method anymore. They're going to use another cryptocurrency like OmiCigo or somebody like that, or, you know, Stellar or something like that, because those are better technologies, a lot faster than Bitcoin, a lot cheaper transactions, and they can actually be utilized, you know, thousands of transactions a second versus, you know, hundreds. So
what would you say to, and there's financial gurus around the country, the presidents of banks and the huge companies that are scoffing at the idea of Bitcoin, what would you say to those people at this stage?
They don't understand it. Yeah, it's that simple. It's like, you know, like Warren Buffett was saying that he, you know, didn't like tech stocks. He didn't like technology of any sort, you know, to invest in, you know, years ago. And now he owns Apple, IBM, all these other things, right? And so he comes out and says, you know, Bitcoin's basically for suckers, you know, kind of like Jamie Dimon did, right? Now they're looking at it going, oh, maybe it's not. So you've got Jamie Dimon building his own blockchain now, right? So, and just, you know, a few months ago, he was calling us all idiots for investing in it. Now here he is doing the same thing, right? They're actually looking into it. They're actually realizing, oh wow, this can change everything. So it's an exciting technology. You're going to see, you know, basically revolutionize the world in a lot of the sectors that can use technology for assistance and help and growth.
So just thinking, I only have one last question here. Just thinking about all the entrepreneurs and business people that could be listening to this show, just advice moving forward on building their businesses and when to take a little bit out of the business. When do you start? You know, a lot of us we start off as entrepreneurs, and really, it's maybe our home and the business that's where we got all our value. When do you start taking it out to start a second business that doesn't even seem to relate, or start putting things into stocks and real estate and Bitcoin? When do you do that?
Well, you know, trust in God, but believe in yourself, right? So when it comes to taking money out of something that's making you money, it needs to be money that you're not counting on to live, right? So once you get to that point, whatever it is, and you're like, hey, okay, we're doing good. We're actually building up the war chest. We've got residual income. We got money we can play with. Maybe that's when you look at this other sector, this other market that you're like, hey, you know, I can make some money over there. Or, hey, you know, I've got a passion for this area, and I'm pretty sure that if I put that to use, you know, I can make some money and create some opportunities for people and then go that way. But don't ever, you know, kill the golden goose, right? Don't ever just start sucking money out of the business that makes you a bunch of money and then go off and lose it, right? Or leave too early before the golden goose actually matures, right? So, yeah.
Do not kill the golden goose. Words of wisdom from my friend Robert Beatles. Thanks for coming back on the show today. I know you made the trip out here from Lodi. We'll be hanging out a little bit later this afternoon. When we return, we're going to meet Richard Bakken, Stifel Financial. He is a guru. He's a man that I turn to for investment advice. Coming up after the break, join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Audi Rockland. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to Mark Haney, igniting the entrepreneurial revolution with the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Hub International. I'm Mark Haney, and I'm here with the Senior VP of Stifel Financial, Mr. Richard Botkin, in the house. How you doing, Richard?
Great, Mark. Good to be here.
You know, the subject of the day, we've been talking Bitcoin, but your favorite subject is the heroes of American capitalism, entrepreneurs. You are all about supporting entrepreneurs. You and I talk about this a lot. Why are entrepreneurs so special to you, Richard?
We're in a culture war, Mark. America's vital life is at stake. You know, I started out writing a book about the Vietnam War because I think America's a great country, and I don't think the truth has been told about that. But as I got into this project with you on our book, I've been amazed every single day. Again, today, hooking up with Robert Beatles downstairs, just listen to his story. These are the people we need to celebrate. The men and women who are the entrepreneurs, they are making America a great country. They're going to save America. We need to celebrate these people and their stories. One of the interesting things, there's so many interesting things, all these guys have been knocked down, but they've all gotten back up. They all have comeback stories. They all have lots of difficulty. I think too often we see a successful person in the big house, the fancy car, the beautiful wife, whatever, and we don't appreciate what they went through. These people have all the problems that everybody else does. I mean, in interviewing all these people, they've lost spouses, they've lost children, they've faced financial difficulty, and yet they didn't quit.
Yeah.
I love those stories.
It's a story of America, isn't it?
It is. Yes, it is.
Think about when people came over in the early 1700s, 1600s. It's like risking everything putting everything on the line to try to start a new life for themselves. Doesn't that remind you of entrepreneurship?
Absolutely. That is America's story. It is. But, I mean, talking with Robert Beatles downstairs, he's going to double the size of his construction company this year, 300-400 jobs. We need to celebrate guys like that. We need to have more people like that.
It's amazing how entrepreneurs, have you found, so we're writing, you're writing a book, Marcus is involved, I'm involved, it's about what we've learned on the show this last few years. We've met so many cool entrepreneurs. Some of my story has come out, we're going to share that in the book, but that book's not out for a while, so I don't want the emails flying in too fast.
No, that'll be good. I need the pressure. I need the pressure. I'm
working on this for a while.
Glacial
speed, But thinking about this, what have you learned? You've learned about these entrepreneurs and the character, but what else stands out to you when you think about the entrepreneurs here in Sacramento?
Well, just within 1 mile of the Mark Tank here, we've got two special entrepreneurs that I've really grown to admire. Titan Gilroy, Frank Wegner. Those guys have amazing stories. Frank Wegner's story, when he was been on your show twice, the first time I heard L&H Airco, air conditioning company, are you kidding me? But this guy has developed a process that is going to save hundreds of thousands of lives every single year.
Yes, making the hospitals clean
rooms,
killing the germs inside the air of the hospitals.
Right, right. And it speaks to the story we want all of our young entrepreneurs to learn. It's not going to be an overnight success. I mean, you've talked about things, the 10,000-hour rule. Don't quit. All these things, those things matter. When he started that project, he thought, in 2002, I believe, they thought it was going to be a two-year project. Well, they're just now about to wrap it up. But we lose 99,000 people a year killed because of hospital infections.
And this guy is an air conditioning guy, right? Today, it seems like in the news, everybody's talking about these unicorns, right? These billion-dollar companies that are going to go public, and it's a lot of really high tech stuff. There's a lot of innovative things happening in stuff that some people might think, it's just air conditioning. It's kind of low tech. And you see that with Titan Gilroy as well. He's doing something in terms of manufacturing, but he's taking a very innovative approach.
Absolutely. Titan Gilroy, I mean, I think maybe Donald Trump stole Make America Great Again from him. Titan was on that for years. And when you look at where he came from, that's the beauty of his story. I mean, I think about, when would you quit? When would you quit? I mean, when your husband or wife dies, when your child dies, when you've been put in prison. I mean, Titan Gilroy has a darn good story, and he's proud to tell it. And he's blessing so many people. It goes beyond just the money, obviously.
Yeah, and you think about entrepreneurs, right? The ones that have come on this show, without exception, are very humble. Have you seen that?
Absolutely, because they've been humbled, so they understand. And that's what makes them more human. Those are the guys, guess I just have so much regard for those men and women.
So we've been talking, you know, you and I got off here today on the tangent of entrepreneurship. It's not really a tangent because that's the key to, it's the reason why I'm doing what I,
yes,
what I am doing and trying to promote entrepreneurs as the heroes of American capitalism and the key to Sacramento's future growth, my hometown. But you're a wealth manager. You can step back and think about a balance sheet and how people might allocate resources, allocate their net worth, right? Allocate the different assets that they have. Talk to us a little bit about that. What do you think of Bitcoin? How do you decide when to go into stocks or bonds or Bitcoin or invest in another business?
Well, Bitcoin certainly is a whole new asset class that in my industry, frankly, we don't know how to deal with it quite yet. I mean, we're looking at regulation. Also, I was talking with Robert earlier. I don't think we have a good handle on it.
It's hard to know what would happen, what causes something to go up and down. But when people quit buying, it goes down.
Right.
And would regulation, do you think, cause people to get less enthused about Bitcoin?
Maybe not so much the currencies as much, but the concept of blockchain is clearly on the ascendancy in every industry. We're going to see that more and more and more. I mean, all mainstream American tech companies, or many of them, are in it. The big players, Intel, IBM, Cisco, Microsoft, they're already in it.
Okay.
And blockchain will be a bigger and bigger deal as we move ahead, for sure.
So thinking about spreading out our net worth, right? Robert said, "Don't kill the golden goose," and I have to applaud him for that because I think a lot of times people are thinking, "I got to diversify, diversify, diversify." That's what I hear from wealth management guys like you.
Right.
But in reality, sometimes you got to go keep that golden goose if it's throwing off the right income stream or the right opportunity for your team.
Can't argue against that,
yeah.
Right? But diversification does in most cases make sense because if there are times when you have an Enron, and if you're all in on Enron,
right,
you're done.
Especially if you're going in stocks. Don't put all your money in one stock.
Right.
So just thinking about it. So if someone comes to you, let's say I've come to you and want to make an investment, right? Like I wanted to go in on Facebook because my wife was, an avid Facebook user.
That was a good call.
I'm like, okay, she loves Facebook. So, and I started using Facebook too. And now I'm sort of, social media has become a part of my life. But when they went for their IPO, I was able to go to you and say, "Hey, Richard, I'd like to get in on this
IPO."
We got
some. Yeah.
And we got some, and it's done kind of like what Bitcoin has done. I got lucky.
Well, not as much as
it's gone pretty well after going down. Thinking about that and how you obviously going in on an IPO or something like a stock, most people don't understand that. So how do you decide when to send somebody into a certain stock, or how does that work?
There's a process. I mean, it's pretty plain vanilla. You go through a process and find out what people
figure out what makes them tick.
What their long-term goals are. Yeah, that's it. You know the drill.
I should be a wealth manager.
Yeah, you are a wealth manager. Yeah. No, it's that part is not rocket science. Obviously, the rocket science is knowing what the market's going to do, and I don't. But diversification generally, and trying to concentrate in areas where you feel there's better value at the right time.
Yeah. Now, are there stories out there of people just like I talked about the vomit strategy, right, where they get so caught up in their investment emotionally that when it drops, it gets cut in half. We saw that happen in 2008
and
2009 and stuff. And, everybody was nauseated at that time. But, I mean, there's part of your job is almost like psychiatrist,
yes,
right? Because that vomit feeling, some of us are looking for the vomit. We might want to invest when things are low. But, I mean, a lot of us have also got in maybe at the wrong time and it's gone down, or a time when, things are volatile. So how do you hold our hands?
That's a very key issue. I mean, investor psychology is something it's easy now because the market's been in such an uptick. But I remember in 2008 and early 2009, that was a tough time. I mean, there were periods of time when people thought the U.S. government was going to fail. And there was a period of time when you would lose money buying a U.S. Treasury bill, meaning you'd pay more for it than it was worth at maturity because people were so fearful.
Well, the animal spirits are out now. Everybody's talking like it's going to continue to go up. The stock market's up again today. It's just just it a lot of the conversation now, it reminds me of 2006, 2007, where we, you know, in the housing market, mm-hmm. we can't lose. This is too easy, and Bitcoin's going, everything's going. But if you think about the biggest risks that we face today, as some of these global risks, I think about what might derail the market, right? So North Korea and so on. What things go in? What keeps you up at night in terms of a market risk?
Geopolitical risk.
Okay.
And I don't think that's something that's really in the market. I always look at the Japanese and Korean markets at the end of the day, because they're a day ahead of us, mm-hmm. basically. And I'm if they're up or flat, World War III is not going to start today.
Okay.
I do think the market is generally a good discount mechanism, although it can't price in World War III. I remember last week the thing in Hawaii where they had that false scare.
Yes.
If that had happened during a regular weekday, it would have been interesting to see how that would have impacted the markets, because it definitely would have been.
Yeah, that was real fake news. But thinking about China, South Korea,
Japan,
that they're the determinants on whether we have a major problem with North Korea. They're the first ones that are going to show signs of fragility. Am I right?
Right. I believe so. I mean, if they launch a nuke towards the United States, it's not going to, I don't mean to sound trite here, it's not going to be a good day anywhere in the markets.
Yeah.
Won't be good. Even in Bitcoin, probably. Or maybe in Bitcoin. I don't know. If they wipe out
maybe
the internet,
go digital.
Who knows? Yeah.
All right. So just closing thoughts. Only a second or two left. But closing thoughts about entrepreneurship and what you're seeing here in Sacramento. Advice and closing thoughts.
We need to continue to celebrate these entrepreneurs, because they are the ones that are blessing everybody. I mean, even in the nonprofit, you had Steve, what am I thinking, from St. John's.
Oh, Michelle Steve, yes.
They have free market solutions to help people. And she is running into a lot of flack because of that. And I see that, and I apologize, Michelle. We need free market solutions to everything. And yet there's a big sector that's not listening to this show, that don't believe what we believe, that they think we're evil, when in fact we're the guys that are creating all this. And that's, we need to tip the pendulum. I think California's a little bit off the edge there.
Yeah, we need to celebrate entrepreneurship. I love California. I love small business, and I love what you are doing to help me with the book and help me in my life. I appreciate
Thank
Richard
you,
Bakken. Thank you for coming on the show. When we return, I will be rejoined by Marcus Haney. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of the Entrepreneurs Organization of Sacramento and law firm Greenberg Traurig. This is the Haney Biz Project.
And now, back to the Haney Biz Project with investorpreneur Mark Haney.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of accounting firm Clifton Larson Allen. I'm Mark Haney, and I am rejoined by Marcus Haney. Marcus, you know, we've been talking about investments. We've been talking about Bitcoin, thinking about takeaways from today, but also wanting to talk about how we think about making our investment strategy, you know, our investments around here.
Yeah, absolutely. I really loved what Robert Beatles and Richard Bakken said today about, you know, the capitalism piece of, hey, we are America's entrepreneurs coming out that are really changing the game for everybody. So I thought that was very exciting to hear Bakken's enthusiasm around that, getting fired up. And that Bitcoin, everybody's, you know, in and out of it.
Are you ready to go in on Bitcoin right now?
Ah, geez. I don't know.
It's
How
like,
about you?
What do you say, $1,100 per coin.
$11,000
per coin. I mean, I don't even know if I want to even buy one coin at this stage. It sounds pretty high. I'm waiting for the vomit, right? I'm waiting for Robert Beatles to get a little nauseated. Maybe it goes down, you know, cut in half from there. Maybe I go in at that stage. But for now, I'm looking for opportunities in entrepreneurship, right? We are beginning to invest into entrepreneurs this last several years after selling my company. It's like, let's pick out some rock star entrepreneurs. So that's what we've been working on.
Well, why don't we take the listeners back a little bit down memory road and talk about some of the investments that you've had from Northern Video or prior, good and bad, that led us to have this opportunity to create this entrepreneurial revolution right here in Sacramento.
You bet. Security camera company, grew into five companies, few hundred plus million in sales, 300 employees, sold off four of the five companies about 6 years ago, put myself sort of in a position to have a few choices in life. one security company is growing like crazy now, but I've begun to invest into other businesses. And I think my experience in building some of these other businesses in security, it allows us to sort of help these other entrepreneurs. I'm the old guy, so I have some experience, and I really think that entrepreneurship helps my hometown of Sacramento. I believe in opportunity, and I think there's nothing like going all in on something, really sinking your heart and soul into something that really can make things happen. And I think entrepreneurship is, we can do that in Little League, we can do that in football, we can do that as an employee, but when we do it in entrepreneurship, big things can happen. We talked to Robert today. We've seen that happen in entrepreneurship. Really big, life-changing, game-changing, opportunistic things happen when entrepreneurs go all in and they're successful. So I love that.
Yeah, really changing it for their own personal community and stuff like that. It's really neat to see, you know, especially Robert saying he has, what, 340 employees in his construction company. What does that do for a town like Lodi?
Oh, yeah. And what does that do for his teammates? I mean, how many managers, how many lives have changed in those families? How many extra kids are playing Little League because they're employed, right? And they can afford to pay for their kids, youth football. So I love what entrepreneurship does. And so what I'm doing is, I mean, we're here inside Mark Tank, right? So people pitch me in Mark Tank all the time. I love to hear stories of entrepreneurship, and I love to share the stories on the show, but sometimes I invest. If the right opportunity comes along in entrepreneurship, if I meet a rock star with the right idea where I can add value, right? When I have some rock star teammates around here as well. So
yes,
when I meet a rock star, so people kind of ask me, Mark, how do you decide when to invest? And it starts with the entrepreneur. I invest in the entrepreneur first, the idea probably second, but also what are his strengths? If he's a rock star or she's a rock star and there's ambition there, heart, and then I think about my rock star teammates, right? I've built this cool team of rock stars here, starting with Tim Mulligan, my right-hand man, CPA, a guy that I've known for years, and a lot of my old teammates from the olden days that helped me build the company, they're still here in my inner circle. So if I can match a new rock star friend with my old rock star friends, you know, great things happen. So that's what I look for. One example of that is a recent example, a dry cleaning company, a guy that had, you could tell, I mean, we had a chemistry, and Tim and I were talking, the guy's named Tim that we invested into, and, you know, there was a chemistry. I knew this guy was going to be successful because he had heart, he had soul, he knew his product, and I thought, you know, if I can match him up with my Tim, right, my rock star entrepreneur, my workplace soulmate, if you will. He's an incredible guru of entrepreneurship, but he's also happens to be a CPA, right? A business guy. If I can put those two together along with our marketing and our accounting, you know what? I think I can help this dry cleaner to grow. So we've done that, but I've been doing that for the last 5-6 years.
So what kind of value would we add to an organization like Tim's?
I think a lot of times entrepreneurs feel alone, right? Not every, when you get to be Robert Beadle's size, you don't maybe feel quite as alone. But if you're one of those entrepreneurs out there that maybe has 3 or 4 employees, right? And so each of you is scrambling. So you might be building the product, shipping the product, selling the product. You're doing everything. And then accounting for the product at the end. You're trying to wear
customer service.
Yeah, you're wearing every hat, and your employees are wearing every hat. I mean, that can be a stressful situation. So I think what we do is we take a little bit of that stress out. We bring some old guys into the room to say, okay, I love what you're doing. I love the heart. I love the work ethic. Here's how we might reorganize it. Here's how we might put a little fuel on the stuff that's working. We can recognize which parts of your business are really, they really have some potential, and we want to invest into those. We talk about asset allocation. How we use our resources is key, and sometimes guys like Tim and myself, we can look at that and go, you know what, why don't we go all in on this part of your dry cleaning effort or this part of your marketing effort and throw some money behind that and really to help you grow. So I think where we add the most value is just so an entrepreneur doesn't have to feel alone. He has a sounding board of somebody who's been there and and done that.
Yeah, well, we also help entrepreneurs that we don't invest in too as well, right? Like folks that have business that we just do services for. And I hear you say oftentimes, show up, shock them, and systematize. What does that mean?
Yeah, we're entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs. I believe it just starts with a conversation, right? So these conversations that we have one-on-one with me, one-on-one with Robert Beatles, one-on-one with Richard Bach, and one-on-one with Tim Mulligan, when you have these conversations, you pick up things that that might cause a light bulb to go off, and then you're motivated to go chase your dreams. So I believe that it's all of our jobs, especially the most successful entrepreneurs, if we help enough of the up-and-comers, that will do huge things for a hometown of Sacramento. You talk about show up, sock them, and systematize. I mean, the first step is showing up. Anything that we do in life, you got to show up. Shock them. I talk about this all the time. Create a differentiated product. And then when you bring in guys like me and Tim and investors, then we systematize, we throw some money at it, and we scale it and hopefully build something very meaningful. So we're going to have to cut the break, Marcus. I could talk all day long about my investment strategy. Realistically, if you want to tell your story to me, if you want to pitch your idea, you want a sounding board out there, even if you're a 1, 2, 3, 4 person show, or you could be a 100 person company, bring your ideas to me. I'd love to hear about them. Who knows? Maybe I can add some value. Maybe I can provide a connection that helps you. Maybe I am the guy that turns your idea into something really game-changing. And I don't mean that alone. I just mean that by your side. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Ethan Conrad Properties and financial advisor Stifel Financial. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back for Mark's takeaways from today's Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Silvers HR. I'm Mark Haney, and I am back here with Marcus Haney. We've been talking about investing. We've been talking a little bit about how we invest. Obviously, Robert Beatles and Richard Bakken are gurus in their specific areas. Marcus, where do you invest?
I invest in my time, and I invest in people. So I'm a small business guy right now, so I am still trying to get as many Bitcoins in my pocket as possible.
Working on that first Bitcoin.
Absolutely.
Going out there talking to your customers. I'm envisioning myself as a one-man show or a two-person company. And you look around and you're like, who's going to be running sales for me? You know, you look around and if you don't see anybody, if you don't see a sales manager, guess what? You are the sales manager. And
absolutely.
I know you're focused on growing your revenue. And I'm going to make a prediction here, Marcus, that you are one of the fastest growing companies over the next 3 or 4 years. What you are doing with your industrial supply company, I think, is in the process of really blowing up. So I love what you're doing. I think you're going to have some Bitcoin at the end of the day.
I look forward to it.
But thinking about things that shape my investment strategy, and you know, I talk about my dad a little bit. He said, buy low, sell high. I turned that into my vomit strategy, right? Where you look for opportunity when other people are getting sick. Hey, maybe that's the time to invest. And that started way back when, right? When I was like 16, 17 years old. And it started, I'll tell a story about my dad. He saw an opportunity. He saw a company that he wanted to buy, right? So he had, but he had no money, right? So my dad had zero money. It was the 70s and they were out of money. They had a little TV shop or a couple of TV shops, but they wanted to buy this TV repair shop and had no money. So guess what they did? They turned to one of their children, me, the one who had been saving a lot of money, meaning all my paper route money and my little money from working. And I loaned them $7,000 of the 10 that they needed to go buy this little repair shop. The repair shop was worth $100,000. The assets alone were worth that. But they only had, they were trying to scrape, but they could buy it for 10. They found a way, you know, the guy was trying to dump it. And so they found a guy who was sick to his stomach and, you know, threw. And he's like, wow, you know, we want to go buy that. So I loaned them the majority of that money to buy the shop. And they turned it into $100,000. And guess what? When they went to pay me back, next to me is a radio that reminds me of my dad, because when my dad came to pay me back, he not only paid me back the $7,000 that I loaned to him, but he gave me this old-time radio that was there in the repair shop it's a reminder of my dad and the advice of, compound effect and buying low and selling high. And I took that repayment, I took that radio as a symbol, but I took that $7,000 and he gave me some other advice. he said, you know what? Maybe you ought to buy your first stock. And he gave me a tip on this stock that was going public. And I invested my $7,000 on that stock, and it doubled in value. Went up to $14,000. I went and I borrowed against that stock, and I put the money that I borrowed into that stock, and it doubled again. I took that money. This was all in about a one-year period. He had an inside tip on a certain stock. I went in on it, sold it at or near the top, and I took that money and started investing in real estate. That turned into other business opportunities for me, but it all started by loaning a guy some money. It all started with some advice of when to go in. Go in on something you know. On this particular case, we knew that it had a great shot of going up, and we bet, and we got the fortune of winning. So if you're here listening to this show today, I would just say, like if you're a parent, we know that your kids are probably the most important thing in your life. Invest in those children. If you're an employee and you're putting your blood, sweat, and tears into something, that's your job. That is an investment. If you are in a dead-end job, well, maybe that's not the job to go all in on at this stage, but go get a job where you can go all in, where you can invest that effort, because it's got value, and that creates opportunity when you invest like that. But if you're a small business owner, I say invest in your team. And if you're a real successful small business owner, start thinking about diversifying. Start thinking about hanging around guys like Richard Botkin, about guys like Robert Beatles. Maybe it's even in Bitcoin. Who knows? But go all in. Make sure you don't go all in on Bitcoin, but go all in on things that you know. So just thinking about a little sacramental salute to Richard Bach and Robert Beatles, to you, Marcus, and to all those fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. To the 13 stripes, to the 50 stars, and to the one big investment always worth fighting for, yours. Never above you, never below you,
always by your side.